Good evening, Little Saigon, Seattle, and every other place that you can possibly imagine. Good evening to the people who live somewhere in the Indian Ocean. Maybe they live at Diego Garcia. Good evening to those folks who live in Costa Rica. And to all those folks who live up and down the broken corridors of infinity. Good evening, it is February the 2nd, Super Bowl Sunday, 2020. It's right around 7 p.m. Do I know who's playing? Well, no, I don't know who's playing. Do I care who wins? No, I don't really give a shit who wins. I don't care which sports cooperative, supported by which major organization, whether it's the Power Corporation or the Car Corporation or the We Blow Shit Up Corporation. I don't give a fuck. I don't care. You can come back to me and say, "Damn, but isn't that, you know, unpatriotic to not give a shit about the Super Bowl?" Well, let's think about that. I think the first Super Bowl was in the 1960s. So what you're basically arguing is that you don't believe in America if anything created in the 60s, you know, that still exists today, if you don't love it. Well, yeah, there's a lot of stuff that came to exist in the 60s I would say I'm not a huge fan of. And the Super Bowl would be one. Now, I know some of my listeners might be super fans of the Super Bowl. And if you are, I'm really sorry. I know some of you may believe in the Super Bowl. And I don't, so I'm sorry. I know some of you believe in watching professional football games. I'm sorry. I'm really, really, really... I'm really fucking sorry, okay? About everything. Anywho, I don't know who's playing. I heard mention of Kansas City Chiefs. I don't give a fuck. I don't care if the Chiefs are playing the Butthole Weasels. And if the Butthole Weasels are playing the Flaming Vaginas, guess what? Those will be your pro football team names in a couple of fucking years, if any of us are left alive. I got a question for you folks out there in magical land. And it's a question. It's one of those weird sort of questions. You don't have to have an answer, but you need to think about it. I'm looking at the news that's coming out of China, and the news is of panic and empty streets and not enough resources and a lot of fucking blockades and barricades. And frankly, if it were a Hollywood movie, like the movie Contagion, it looks a lot like that. Like, I'm watching the movie Contagion, but I'm seeing the outtakes. I'm seeing the stuff they didn't include. It's like Soderbergh said, no, dude, that's too real. Oh, you used actual SARS victims. Fuck. That's really real. You know, Werner Herzog would love that. Hey, Werner, you want to make a movie called The Darkest of All Black Plagues in New Orleans? Yes, it'll be the Black Plague, set in New Orleans, starring Nicolas Cage as mayor. Come on, Werner. It's going to be the next movie, man. Yeah, I want you to think about this for a second. Imagine for a moment that this is real. Then imagine what level of fear must exist in China right now that it looks like the Chinese economy is about to suffer a stroke. Now, folks, you need to also think about this too. They don't really have the same kind of economy we do. I mean, I know people want to say they've got some free enterprise. They have a totalitarian society, and they have the ability to do whatever they want to do. So if they want to, they could shut down China for a month, probably, if they had the resources. This is the other side of the equation, if they had the resources. But the other part of it, too, is would the global supply chain accept a China that's been shut down for a month or two? I know that sounds like a weird question, but guys, that's what we're talking about. If this is real, the economic impact might already be in. And if this is fake, the economic impact might already be in. Like, there's probably no way that this event is not a black swan at this point. Because again, 3-4 weeks ago, who 3 or 4 weeks ago was worried about the bat gunkus virus with a little HIV protein? I really wasn't. We were all talking about magical Zoltan and the Rapocalypse and Gus at the Eccles building with the brick on the button that says money, money, money. We were talking about repo operations and weird, funky financial bullshit. That was one of the things we were talking about. And the possibility of a war with Iran. That would have been fucking bullshit. But now, now we're talking about the virus. So I would have to say, given the way that it has come out of nowhere, so to speak, at least apparently, and I don't want to get into the whole conspiracy theory, it very well could be a bioweapon that was accidentally released. It very well could be. I mean, listen, the history of governments doing silly, stupid things, it's a long history, and, you know, as discussed in the previous podcast, I'll drink a little water here, there's always Hanlon's Law, right? Never ascribe to malice what can be ascribed to basically incompetence. Why blame someone for doing something on purpose when in fact probably what happened is they fucked up? I don't know. It's entirely plausible that this is a catastrophic fuck up at a bioweapons lab. And also the plot to the story, The Stand. So I guess this is Captain Trips, except for it doesn't come from America. No, no, no. So maybe we call it Emperor Trips. Maybe we call it Emperor Trips, man. So given all the theatrics, even if this were fake or some type of complicated bioterror false flag, it seems like the economic damage is probably almost done. And so here's my question. If this is a virus, not a fucking false flag, not on purpose, but done by accident or its nature, in either case, if this was truly a black swan, does the number of dead, 300, seem reasonable to you at this point? Because that to me is the question. Are the Chinese being honest about the fatalities and the complication rate and the infectious rate? I don't know. I mean, it's really a question of what you want to believe. Do you want to believe the Chinese government would admit to its own mistakes if this were really, really bad? I truly don't know. It could, you know what, guys? This could be a lot like the plot to the movie Jaws. You know the original Jaws, where the mayor says, well, you know, I was talking to the doctor. He said it was probably a propeller. And Roy Schneider's like, you fuck. This is not a propeller. And then, like, what's his name? Richard Dreyfuss is totally like, this is not a propeller. It's a Carcharian Carcharius. It's a great white. But again, you got the mayor. And the mayor's like, listen, buddy. Amity is a summer island filled with summer people. And you're telling me there's a great white shark out there. Fuck you. I think if we can get this cleaned up. You know, I heard about this guy. What's his name? Captain Quint. Captain Quint has a boat. And I mean, we all know what he does for a living. We all know what Captain Quint does for a living. And this coronavirus, it ain't like hook-shine Tommy Cods down in the bay. Whatever the fuck I just said. But you get my point. I mean, part of this could be like the plot to Jaws. Except for, instead of being a shark, it's the fucking fucked up beer bat woo flu virus. And the mayor, in this case, you know, Minister Z, is basically like the mayor in Amity. It's like, listen, I hear you guys. I know it sounds bad, but we got business. We got Apple. We got phones to ship. I know that sounds fucked up, but that's one of the things that may have been going on here during the last few weeks, is that they may have been hoping this was just, at worst, SARS and probably just the flu. And it's entirely possible, given the R-naught, which again is a measure of the infectious rate of a given pathogen, the R-naught, given that the R-naught is 4, it's plausible that this shit hit them in the back of the head. Like, this just creeped up on them really fast. Okay? Like I said, you could, like a listener said, you could just say Hanlon's Law. This might not have been some great conspiracy. This could have simply been a manifestation of human folly. And folks, the story of human folly leading to terrible environmental disasters, holy shit, that's a long history. I hate to break it to you, but we tiger beavers do a lot of tiger beaver shit. You know, I mentioned the past. Did you know they once fracked for natural gas using a 15-kiloton nuclear weapon? I think that was in Arizona or New Mexico. But anywho, it was a fucking disaster. It was an environmental catastrophe. So if people say to me, Dan, you know, governments aren't that stupid and blah, blah, blah. Listen, I think you can see this both ways. You could see this as some horrible conspiracy involving some cabal. And, you know, maybe on some level it does. Or maybe it really is just human folly. And I'm not really sure how we tell the difference. So my question, before we move on to the plague update, is, does the 300 plus or minus, I think it's maybe 360 now, let's call it 400. By tomorrow, it'll be 5,000. 5,000 dead, no. Let's hope not. But does that number seem plausible? To me, I look at the situation in China, it looks like a fucking zombie movie. And so that number does not seem plausible. That number seems bad. Excuse me, that number seems too low. And what's also important is you need to check out the complications. Because a lot of people are probably not going to die instantly, especially at the stage where these governments have the resources to help these people out. Imagine what it's like a month from now, okay? Right now, they might have two or three nurses to intubate, to provide IVs, to make sure they tip you over so you don't aspirate. Listen, there are things you need to do with people undergoing a serious infection that involve a lot of attention. Right now, they have nurses and doctors, the ones that aren't sick, who can watch the patients who need that attention. What will it be like a month from now? So does that 300 number seem plausible? To me, it does not. To me, either this is total bullshit. At this point, this is what I gotta say. And guess what? Maybe next week we find out here in Little Saigon. Maybe next week you'll hear my last podcast. I'll be saying to you, listen, folks. Yubbas. I just pooped out my spleen and other parts of my insides in some type of a gumbo that's sitting in my toilet. It's nasty as fuck. Yes, I'm so thankful for the time we spent together, all 20 of us and all the other 80 bots. And won't it be wonderful in the netherworld of Tomorrowland when we link up again in heaven and we get to drink beer together? I know Jesus will have a special brew. You know Jesus is probably a kick-ass microbrewer. So let's go for the plague update and see what the update on the plague is. What do you guys think? That's a nice thing to do. Headline for today's plague update, and this is coming from Zero Hedge. Link to the article will be in the podcast description. This is published today at around 5 o'clock Eastern, or I should say updated today, around 5 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. There are currently 17,000 and change confirmed cases worldwide for this terrible disease, and 362 global fatalities. Two confirmed cases have been reported in San Benito County in Northern California. San Benito. One dead person from this terrible Wu flu in the Philippines. China's central bank will pump 150 billion yuan, or 21 billion in U.S. dollars, into the markets and has banned short selling on Monday to prevent a sell-off. Well, yeah, good luck with that. I don't think they need to worry about short sellers. They just need to worry about sellers. Yeah, I don't think the short selling issue is the only problem they face. They might also face just the we're getting the fuck out of Dodge issue. So I don't know what's going to happen there. 24 countries reporting cases now of this terrible, terrible Gumbus disease. The Philippines, New Zealand joined list of countries restricting travelers from China, and guess what? People think that's racist now. Quarantines are racist. Travel bans are racist. Checking a person's temperature is racist. 36 French citizens evacuated from Wuhan show symptoms. So these are 36 French citizens who are symptomatic, and now they're being flown back to France. That makes a lot of sense. I think that's pretty fucking stupid myself. Like, I could see saying, because doesn't France still have one or two fucking islands out there that they used to send fucking people with leprosy to or something? I don't know. Do they still have Devil's Island? Anyways, I would just fucking find an island someplace, set up fucking hospitals ASAP, bring in the fucking hospital ships, but isolate these people. It sounds pretty bad, right? Why don't we isolate them? No, no, no. We're going to fly them back to France. We're flying them back to France, to Paris, France, to be treated by the good French citizens of France. Yeah, another person is under observation in New York City, hospitalized at the Flushing Hospital Medical Center. This person is over 60 years old. Right now, there's this idea out there. I don't know if it's really confirmed. I know that Chris Martinson thinks that it might be confirmed that this is mainly an issue with men because of the ACE9 receptor or something. But right now there's a story going around that is also like older men. Like me, for example, I would be in the prime demographic for death. Death, oh death, oh death, if you come, come forth on Tuesday after I'm drunk. Death, oh death, if ye visit me, come forth on Thursday after I pee. Death, oh death, if you come to my door, please bring a whore. Oh death, come visit my door. Bring me a beautiful whore. Bring me monkeys covered in lice. Bring me a latte. Pumpkin spice. Yep. Old death is going to come to my door, but I promise I will get out the podcast telling you what happened. And I will try to videotape as much as possible, maybe even live. You know, I've got the Charlie Vegas YouTube channel. I can just turn that baby on, point my laptop camera at my body as I shake on the floor. I will probably aspirate because no one will be here to clean out my throat of vomit. I will probably have vomit in my lungs when I die. And if this happens, don't feel sad for me. Don't feel sad. Don't feel sad for me if death comes to my door, because you know what? I lived a good life. I drank some nice scotch. I once got to jump out of 5 perfectly good airplanes. I've been to Korea. I've even been to New York. You know, I once stood on the ledge, the observation ledge of one of the World Trade Center, one or two buildings. I forget which one, but it was the one with the observation ledge. Probably both do. Guess what? If you never did it, you're never going to get to, because that building ain't there no more. I once did that. I did something that so many millennials and little people, Generation Z, you know what? Even if you wanted to, you couldn't do it. I beat you to it. Anywho, let's see if there are any more interesting... Oh, and you know, I think I talked about the censorship. But it looks like the Chinese government's starting to really crack down on reporting. And of course, you all know about Zero Hedge being in trouble on Twitter. Perhaps permanently banned by Jack Dorsey. Not affiliated with Tommy Dorsey's orchestra. One hopes. One hopes. Anywho, let's get back to the next topic now that we know the state of the plague. One thing to note, though, and people have talked about this, when you're thinking about fatalities and comparing them to total confirmed cases, you got to keep in mind there's lag time. So it's possible that the numbers representing total infections worldwide are ahead of fatalities by 1 to 2 weeks, maybe even up to 3. And if that's the case, then we're going to see more dead people. It's just that it takes a couple weeks. It's not instantaneous. This doesn't look like a hemorrhagic fever. It is a pneumonia. And pneumonias don't kill you instantaneously. So, yeah. I don't know. There's a couple reasons we need to be careful about this fatality number. If it's really just 300 right now, this could just be a really bad SARS. And the whole thing, this whole fucking nightmare will be over with in 2 weeks. I don't know, folks. I don't know. To me, it's like it's 50-50. I've been fucked with so much in my adult life. I have been so fucked with, okay? Bottom line, totally fucked with. It's hard for me to be certain what to believe. The only thing I might start believing is if I see the dead bodies. And if this is a pandemic, and I do live in Little Saigon, then I expect to see the bodies in a week or two. And who knows? Like I said, I could get sick and die. I'm perfect. I'm in the demographic. I sure as shit don't live that clean. And damn it, if I haven't already been exposed to every form of phlebitis. So, fuck. I'm probably already in the stages of this thing. The devil virus. That's what Minister Z called it. The devil virus. And actually, I think there's an old sci-fi movie that's called something like The Devil Bug. Holy shit. You guys can check me on this because I'm not bringing up the internet right now. But I believe there's this fucking sci-fi thriller from the 60s. And I think it's called The Devil Bug. Oh, all these movies that just randomly have the complete plot of the future in them. And I know, it's just fiction. It's just fiction, you know. It's just people writing. Imagination. It's like Jules Verne, you know. He didn't know we would get to the moon. But I gotta be honest with you, the details of Verne compared to how we got there are far more separate than the details of a lot of these films. That doesn't mean anything. That could just be the fact that there's a general convergence of understanding with respect to technology and art, whatever. The nature of fiction is to reflect the past and the future at the same time. And our own folly. The human folly is the best story to tell. The story of sex. The story of murder. The story of setting things on fire and then shaking your fist at God. Yeah, that's an ancient story. So let's go to our next story on the related topic here. I'm going to bring up the internet that I said I didn't want to bring up. Headline also from our good friend Zero Hedge. You know, free Zero Hedge, hashtag free Zero Hedge. Headline, China bloodbath, colon, stocks crash 9%. Stocks crash 9%. Yeah, stocks crash. Actually, I just updated it. It's not 9% now. It just says stocks crash. Whatever. Stocks crash, oil, iron limit down despite emergency PBOC intervention rate cuts. So when they say emergency intervention, they're talking about the People's Bank of China sticking their penis into the vagina of the Chinese economy. And guess what? They're going to make, yeah, they're going to make a cream pie. They're going to make a cream pie and they will have a magical economic miracle. Really? I don't think so. Oh, China's reopening from long Lunar New Year looks to be ugly, blah, blah, blah. Crashing 9% at the open. That's not so great. I don't know, folks. If this is real, then one potential, excuse me, if this were fake, like let's say this is fake, this fucking virus bullshit. And when I say fake, fake doesn't mean 100% fake. Some of the greatest forgeries in history were created by great artists. So don't misinterpret fake as stupid. But what if this is just a really well done fake? I could see the central banks pulling this shit. I could totally see them doing it. Why? Because they're evil motherfuckers. And this is the kind of thing that would totally say, oh, well, you know, we got to have that one world currency. We got to have, you know, lots of printing. Oh, boy, I guess Britain doesn't get to leave after all because we're going to have one world currency. And one world currency will lead to one world army. And one world army will lead to one world emperor. I don't know. Yeah. So let's talk about this for a second because this is on the same theme. I should say it's the same basic theme of if this is real, which means either the accidental release of a weapon or people eating the wrong thing for lunch, which I kind of think people eat stupid shit sometimes. I do. So, you know, if it really does come down to it, could I believe this is all about people eating bats? Fuck yeah. We eat stupid shit. We eat stuff we shouldn't. I think shellfish is bad for you, and I'm not Jewish. But isn't that what every Jewish person says? I'm not Jewish. No, but you know, well, I am circumcised, and I hate shellfish, but I am not Jewish. I'm quite Irish, but yeah, I think my parents got suckered by the snippity snip, which I don't even want to talk about that. That's so fucked up. And I hate shellfish, and let me tell you why. Shellfish collect the nastiest, nastiest stuff from the ocean. They serve a purpose. Guess what? They filter and they sequester. Because in the process of filtering, they take poisons and they sequester those poisons in their fats. So when you eat a shellfish, when you eat any kind of filter feeder, I don't care if it's an oyster, a fucking shrimp, you know, I don't care, prawns, fucking lobster, crab, if you eat any of these creatures that are doing this shit, you're basically eating the bottom of the fucking garbage can in the ocean, the same fucking ocean that TEPCO is preparing to release 1.2 million gallons of water, radioactive tritium-filled water into. Yeah, that was in the news also. Isn't it funny how we didn't, no one was reading about that, you know? So anywho, yeah, I don't like shellfish. I don't like shellfish. Do not like shellfish at all. So this could come down to just bad diet. Or it could be somebody was working at the lab late and did not follow proper procedures, and then they went and had dinner with their friends, and that's how this thing got out. And there's all kinds of possibilities in between. It's why I asked you to say to yourself, you know, now that the number is 360, does 360 dead make sense, given where we're at, given the fact that right now the Chinese economy, which supposedly was unstoppable for decades, is on the verge of kind of grinding to a halt because of this virus? Here's what I would say. It's not that simple. Firstly, the world economy hasn't been doing that great. So if you're going to tell me, oh, we were a thoroughbred and the future was ours, No. This is a good example of where you could almost apply recursion, because essentially you have to think of it this way. This virus seems to be taking out old weak men. And I kind of look at the economy of the world right now as an old weak man, you know, or whatever. If you think that's sexist, weak person. And so, yeah, maybe we're a lot more fragile economically than we realize. Maybe those stress tests that little Timothy Geithner did back in 2012 or whatever, oh, Mr. President, I tested all the banks today. I put them on a treadmill. I hooked Bank of America up to the ECG, baby. Oh, they're doing fine. I gave them a stress test. What total fucking bullshit. When they were doing that crap, I knew it was a fucking it was fucking a snow job. It was bullshit. I knew it was bullshit. I can't prove it was bullshit, but guess what? I knew it was bullshit. The whole stress test thing was another thing. It was like FDIC Friday. As long as he was talking about the stress test, nobody was talking about insolvent banks. And we all remember FDIC Friday back in 2009, 10, 11, 12. We all remember that reality. You know? And this isn't ancient history. This is the worst part. People talk about this like the great financial crisis was so long ago. It was a little over 10 years ago, and if you ask me, it really didn't stop. It simply mutated, like a virus can. It mutated into endless quantitative easing. It mutated into lots of government spending. It mutated into the forever wars that were already ongoing, getting worse and worse and worse, so that now the United States is going everywhere, fucking up everyone's shit. Folks, I'm still, it's almost like I'm flipping the coin, and every time I flip it, it ends up on its edge, which I know is statistically, scientifically, absolutely, mathematically, quasitatively impossible. But every time I flip this quarter in my head, is this something to be worried about, this fucking virus? I don't know. It's just not the issue. In fact, I think the economic conversation is critical. Because like a lot of things at this point, it isn't just the virus, it's what it is going to trigger, you know? We can already see that economically it could trigger some bad shit. But if you believe that global dimming is happening and all this industrial activity basically keeps the earth artificially warm, and if you know it only takes a couple weeks for all the aerosols to fall out of the sky, then you know that in theory, the Earth could experience a 1 degree change in temperature over the next year. And if you're asking, is that significant? Well, yeah, it's pretty fucking significant. It probably is significant enough that if the clathrate gun thing is a thing, that might just be it. That would be the trigger. And then all of a sudden, the virus is not the thing you're worried about. Now the virus is just, yeah, it sucks, but we're looking at Venus syndrome, so yeah, the virus isn't as bad as Venus syndrome. So I'm right on the edge of the quarter there. I flip the quarter in my head, and I say to myself, Dan, does it make sense that the Chinese would do this to themselves? And I don't mean the people. I mean the government. Is there a fucking, you know, it's like you ask yourself, means, motive, opportunity. Do they have the means to do this? Yes. Do they have the opportunity to do this? Absolutely. It's a totalitarian society. Do they have a motive? Well, one motive would be to quell disruption, to quell revolution, rebellion, to nip in the bud this whole democracy protest in Hong Kong. And guess what? They probably, yep, check that box. They probably did that. Plus, it provides a lot of cover to poison and kill a lot of people, and no one's going to ask questions. Imagine you're China, and this is really dark, people, but you need to think about this. Because if this all blows over and very few non-Chinese die, then you're going to have to meditate on this as a possibility. But imagine the Chinese government had a list of, let's say, 1 million to 10 million people. And I know, Dan, aren't you about to describe the plot to the Marvel Avengers movie series, Winter Soldier? Well, I don't know. In that movie, they have a list of people that will cause problems based upon some fucked up algorithm from some guy named Zolia. Although it's funny, Zoltan, Zolia, people with Z's in their names, they often are harbingers. Harbingers? Harbingers of destruction! Always listen to somebody named Zoltan. Remember this fact. It's a good heuristic. If a person named Zoltan tells you something, shut the fuck up and listen. What would be the motive? You could argue that there's a motive beyond China. Like, you could say the Chinese government has a reason, and maybe even others. I mean, I think there are people in the world today who want to have a global government, and they realize they're running up against problems. I mean, Brexit's a good example, though it did take a while, didn't it? And if you ask me, I'm not entirely sure it's over, but there's a lot of activity right now on the periphery amongst a lot of different groups. Groups in Europe, groups in Asia, groups in South America, Central America, groups in Africa, groups all around the world that want to establish their sovereignty. And a lot of these groups are indigenous groups, which means you kind of have to be an asshole to ignore their request, if you ask me. So I would say that there's a motive not just for the Chinese government, but there's a motive for other bad actors too to have a little virus that would scare the fuck out of people, a little virus that would demonstrate that the Mandarins, that the higher-ups, that the cadre cabal, that the Bill Gateses and George Soroses and all these people of the world, that they're here to help us and they're our friends and we should love them. Yeah. This could be a kind of tragic morality tale involving a virus. And the net effect of it is to help to usher in a global government. I know that sounds crazy. I mean, I'm not even sure how much longer I want to go on this podcast, to be honest with you. I was going to go funny, and it's like, I don't know how to go funny at this point. You know, I was going to say, okay, I ran into Dr. Grunkus today. So I was out today, I had to do some errands, had to get some eggs and shit, you know, some food, and I ran into Dr. Grunkus. Now, if you don't know, Dr. Grunkus is my primary care physician here in Little Saigon. He only has office hours at midnight on Thursday, and he only works out of the alleys of Little Saigon. It is a roving, moving doctor's clinic. It is a clinic you would find in an alleyway, a clinic that is lit by candles. Candles that he lights up. It's a clinic that services the hookers and the pimps and the people like me. Yep, Dr. Grunkus, I ran into him today and he pulled me aside and he said, "Dan, Dan, I think I have a cure for the Wu flu. Dan, I think I have a cure for the Wu flu. And I believe that it could make us a lot of money, Dan." But I need somebody's apartment to work out of. And Dan, could you let me work out of your apartment to create my gunkus that I'll put into jars and sell to people, claiming that it cures the Wu flu? But I don't want to talk about Dr. Grunkus because his bullshit is funny, sort of, but it's some kind of crap. And if people start dying from this, especially people I see, I don't know a lot of people in my neighborhood, but I see a lot of people. And if I notice people, I notice people, people I've seen, if I notice that they're sick and they start dying, I honestly don't know how I'll process that. I don't know. That's why I'm kind of hoping this is a big psyop, but if it is, that's dark too. So maybe what I'm really hoping is it's just a big nothing. Like maybe we will all wake up next week and it'll be like it never happened. It'll be like someone will say, "Oh, false alarm, false alarm, false alarm, false alarm. It wasn't the Wu flu. It was a terrible, terrible version of gonorrhea. Gonorrhea carried by French bulldogs." Yes, if you have a French bulldog and you haven't treated your French bulldog for gonorrhea, if you haven't treated your dog for gonorrhea, you really need to. This isn't normal gonorrhea. But we might find out that it's real. And we might see people we know get sick. And I don't even know how to... How do you contemplate something that you would not want to understand? How do you know something you don't really want to understand? How do you do that? How do you? I mean, some people say, "Well, Dan, can't you just, you know, pick up some book written by Nietzsche and just stare out into the darkness and just hold close to your heart the eternal certainty of being a witness to the truth?" Not really, because I'm a fucking human being. I mean, maybe Nietzsche was some type of on-the-spectrum asshole, but me personally, when I see people sick and dying, I get sad, unless it's a movie. And even in a movie, if I can get into the moment, I get sad. I thought I just heard a Chinook. So, you know, Chinook helicopters, they have two rotors, forward and back, fore and aft. And they also have two big turbojet engines. So Chinooks have a distinctive sound. And I think I just heard a Chinook. Now, that might not mean anything, folks, because, you know, Chinooks are just big helicopters, although they are big enough that you can have a small surgical team and a bunch of nurses, and yeah, you can carry a lot of bodies. They are big, big air ambulances, Chinooks. And for you listeners, I'm not that far from Harborview Medical Center. I'm about 3 blocks away. And Harborview Medical Center here in Seattle is the county hospital, but it's also the level one trauma center for the Pacific Northwest. So yeah, if shit goes sideways, people, I'm ground zero here. I'm telling you, if this shit is real, I'm right next to Chinatown and right next to the county hospital. I'm sandwiched between. If this is real, I'll know. And yeah, I'm also on the path for those helicopters. I mentioned this, so if I mention it, and you don't know why I mentioned the Chinook thing, I'm on the flight path of the Life Flight helicopters, mainly because I'm so close. So basically, every time a helicopter comes in to drop off somebody who was in a car wreck or some oil trader from Bellevue that had a stroke. Oh my God. I wonder how are you doing tonight, oil trader in Bellevue? Dan, where's my cocaine? Listen, Bellevue oil trader, you're the one that owes me cocaine. That I'm sorry. I fuck up so easily. I need to train more. I need to train in the plague year. I need to finish proofreading that chapter. I need to train on the keyboard. It's the plague year. The only problem is, how are we going to make money and get fed? See, this is why I think a lot of us are kind of just minimizing how bad this could be. We're not like we were 100 years ago. 100 years ago, most people in this country basically lived in a rural environment, either on the farm or near the farm, so to speak. Today, 80% of the people in this country live in an urban or semi-urban environment. Basically, they live in a city. That's 8 in 10 people. How are those people going to get fed if this gets bad? And also, how are we going to avoid mass casualties? Because I gotta say, if this becomes one of those zombie, fucking Raccoon City, Evil Dead, fucking virus zombie scenarios, I don't see the people of Seattle behaving well. Yeah, if I have to starve myself a little, I don't see myself leaving the apartment for a month. And I got some MREs, and I got about 20-pound bag of rice. So I think I'm pretty much okay for a while. But you know what though? Maybe it'll be a time for all of us to find love again. Now that was bullshit. Find love again. I imagine the streets will be filled with all the monstrosities of your forgotten nightmares. I can imagine cars on fire. I can imagine a lot of Teslas on fire. I really want to see a lot of Teslas on fire. Shout out to anybody out there during the chaos. Please, if you're going to set cars on fire, focus your attention on Teslas. Yes, the streets will be filled with the wounded and the wanted. streets will be filled with the wanderers and the wicked. The streets will be filled with those strange folk who have nothing but madness in their minds. The streets will be filled with various groups and cadres carrying bats and hammers, chainsaws. The streets will be filled with the ancient cults and the monks. The streets will be filled with weird-ass nuns dressed in sexy outfits. The streets will be filled with empty casings of spent ammo from firefights. The streets will be filled with smoke. The streets will be filled with the burnt bones of those bodies that were burnt the previous night. If you listen to my podcast and you enjoy it, if you listen to my podcast and you say to yourself, Dan, how can I get a little bit of Dr. Grunkus's gunkus to cure me of the gumbus? If you listen to this podcast and you've taken care of your food, your water, your shelter, you've also taken care of your needs for your French bulldog, the one that has gonorrhea, which means you're gonna need Cipro. That's Cipro, that's a powerful antibiotic. If you've taken care of all these things, and you still have money left over, and I mean you've helped your friends, your family, your parents, old Roger that lives down by the sea, you've helped all these people, and you still have money left over, yes, if you still have money left over and you enjoy this podcast for some strange reason, probably related to the mind parasites that are currently eating your soul, well then you can take that money and you can use either Venmo or PayPal to pay me that money so I can get that money. And you're asking, Dan, what will you do with that money? Well, guess what? I will take care of food, water, shelter. But then when I'm done with that, it becomes a question mark of what priorities come next in the Irish lonely middle-aged guy's food pyramid. Next comes beer. Beer and weed. And then after that comes toilet paper and, yeah, toothbrush, toothpaste, soap. So there you go. You've got my priorities. Food, water, shelter. That's good. Then beer and weed. And you say, huh, Dan, that's not so good. But then after that is the soap and the fucking underwear and the fucking toilet paper. Yep. When you live rough with Uncle Dan, you can live light on concerns. You might be dirty, but you're not without your own sense of beauty in the darkness of it all. Yes, take care of food, water, shelter, then beer, then weed, then toilet paper, then soap, then shampoo and haircuts. So right, if you donate money using the links you'll find in the description of this podcast or the links in the right-hand panel of my SoundCloud homepage, which you can get to conveniently with imsully.com, bling, you can send me your money any amount. You don't have to pay, but if you do pay, I promised to take care of food, water, shelter first. But then after that, I got my own crude sense of priorities, okay? You may not like my priorities. You may, Dan, shouldn't you invest in a mutual fund? Bitcoin? No, my investments are beer. My investments are beer. My investments are comprised of beer and weed and whatever else makes me happy. My investments involve those things that make me happy. And they're not complicated and they're not super expensive. But to say that I have any interest in the things like the career and the retirement fund and a big portfolio, I'm not saying it's bad. God bless you if you have those things. I just don't give a shit. I'm a drifter. You want to pretend, go to pretend land about who you think a person like me is. I'm a drifter. I'm a drifter and I've been drifting through this world my whole fucking life. And you know what? That's okay, because the world needs drifters. So for February the 2nd, Sunday, Super Bowl Sunday, Groundhog Day. Is today Groundhog Day? It is indeed for Super Bowl Groundhog Sunday Plague Day, Wu Flu Day. For this day, February the 2nd, 2020, Sunday. I hope you're okay. I hope you take some vitamin C and get some rest. I hope that life, when it puts you to the test, you get an A++.